between the right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth.
So, Birdo's out, and when the New Yorker is away, the cats may play, as they say, right, boys?
That is what they say.
I'm going to bat around a dead mouse.
Okay, good. Aaron, you survived COVID recently, which has done nothing but increase my disdain for the virus. You want to give us an update on your health?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. I still got a lingering cough. Still have no sense of smell.
Okay.
I never really lost my sense of taste. But yeah, for the first like 3 days or so, I was dying. Like my fever got up to like 102.5 at one point.
Damn.
And I was just like out of my mind. Just delirious.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And you didn't grace us with tweets from this hallucinatory state?
Part of the symptoms were looking at any screen or bright light was like knives in the back of my eyes. That's why I had to take a break from Twitter. It's not because I didn't have a lot to say. It's because it physically hurt to use my phone. And so it was just all around a terrible experience.
So how many days out, like, what? So you've been sick for now. I mean, if you're still in recovery, you've been sick for what, 5 days?
So it was all last week. I started getting symptoms on Saturday. Went and got tested Sunday, tested positive, and I was able to kind of get through like those first couple days, just taking Tylenol, reducing my fever. But it's the fever that really killed me. Like,
yeah,
just absolutely destroyed me.
Shit, man. Doesn't sound like fun. Does not sound
like
fun.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It's like it has to be. With how miserable it is, every day a different symptom takes the forefront. Like, I'm convinced it was made in a lab. Like, there's no way to
feel like it's miserable. Consciously choosing attack vectors to try.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Like, every day it's like the forefront of a different, like, horrific symptom.
Golly.
Like, one day, like, granted, the fever was there for the first 3 days. And then it was like, okay, now you're having stomach issues where you're nauseous, you're throwing up, you can't, like, your digestive system is just fucked. And then the next day, it's like you're coughing, you're wheezing, you're out of breath. And then, like, the next day is something different. And, yeah, it was just terrible.
Did you go to the hospital at all, other than to get tested?
No, I just went to the clinic to get tested. And, like, I have zero recollection whatsoever of even doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Wow. So lab confirmed, lab virus confirmed, China virus confirmed. All jokes aside, I'm glad you're feeling better. Looking forward to getting fully out of the weeds there, but I know that, you know, just being sick sucks. Posse, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, you know, I've spent the last couple weeks beginning training at a new job.
Okay.
So my schedule is about 7-8 different kinds of fucked up right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Pretty optimistic.
Good.
So I'm riding a high wave right now.
Good.
It's a good life.
All right. A couple of happy boys. Aaron on the other end of some health issues. Paz kicking off a new chapter. I'm doing the same old, same old. Birdo's, you know, he's using some PTO, so this is great. Aaron, I dropped a few links in the Zencaster chat. These are Sorry. I forgot to mute my other computer. I dropped some links in the Zencastr chat. If anybody would like to take a look at these, the first one was an old tweet. These, and first of all, Bird left us with a bunch of homework here. So that's kind of, I'm very 50-50 on whether we want to progress through these as Bird has mandated, or if we really just want to get wild. But I guess maybe we'll at least start off with one. This is a tweet from Associated Press breaking: Joe Biden says the U.S. military mission in Afghanistan will conclude on August 31st, ending a nearly 20-year mission. And this is an old tweet. This one was from July 8th, but I don't think that we've really covered this on the show.
Hold on, are you jumping around through them? Which one's that?
Oh, maybe it, I don't remember. It's just one that I had pulled up.
Okay. Fair enough. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Thoughts? I mean, Afghanistan, we're abandoning them. We're letting them, letting all the bad things happen.
There's no exit strategy. Oh,
there's
God.
No exit strategy. So we should just stay there indefinitely. Right. Am I right there?
Yeah, well, I think that's
so. As Dune taught us, right? The insurgents always win in the end.
Uh-huh.
And that was written in, like, what, the 60s? Way before Afghanistan
now,
was a thing.
Here, let me offer some pushback, though. We were there so long that it almost became our land, and we were the insurgents.
Well, right, and that's what happened in Dune, too, right?
Oh. Okay. Well, I've never read Dune.
Oh, man.
Is that a big problem?
I mean, not if you go to see the movie this fall.
Okay. I'll do that. Put that on
or just
list.
Watch the movie with Sting.
Oh, yeah. Or just watch the, what's his nuts? Dude who did Twin Peaks.
Oh,
man,
that.
I'm blinking really hard and I'm embarrassed for myself right now.
Yeah,
he's
yeah, yeah.
Who
I know
who
you're talking
original
about.
Dune.
Yeah. He's doing the new Dune movie?
No. No, he did the old one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I need to watch it. There's a couple of Dune fans on my timeline, so maybe that's something that we need to investigate. But do you think Aaron? What are your thoughts on, like? Do you think that, like, this is to
David
me
David Lynch?
What's that?
Sorry. Oh yeah, David Lynch.
What is that? David Lynch. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The director or whatever.
Man, that was gonna bug me. Sorry for the outburst.
Aaron, what do you, is this going to be just a military pulls out and contractors go in type of deal, or what is your vision of what's going on?
I mean, our actual military presence there, as far as I know, is pretty minimal. It is, like you said, mostly just contractors.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're pulling out like 500 troops and leaving like 25,000 contractors.
What is it?
So, you guys remember literally a year and a half ago when Trump tried to sell Afghanistan to Blackwater?
No. No. Wait, what?
Oh, I thought that was bought and sold a while ago, multiple times over.
Go on. Somebody go on.
Okay, I'm going to try and pull up the actual news article because this is a thing that like actually happened. It was just one of those bullshit White House leaks, but man.
Wait, so what? When you say sell it to Blackwater, are the selling the land? Is Blackwater the contractor group, the combat contractor group, like
they're,
the mercenaries?
They're called something else now. I forget
okay.
what it is.
Well, so Blackwater still exists in its current form, but Eric Prince is no longer associated with it. He got kicked out and started a new group called Frontier Strategic Services or some shit. Anyways, I'm about to link the article in Zencastr, and I will show you what I mean. But yeah, like, Trump was literally trying to sell Afghanistan to Eric Prince or some shit. So maybe that is what was going on, you know?
So, I mean, but when you say that, are you saying sell the whatever the job is, the job in Afghanistan to private contractors, or are you saying selling physical land?
Well, nominally, obviously, it would just be war operations, but you know how fast roving armies turn places into fiefdoms.
Yeah, sure.
That's okay. Literally how the state was invented, so.
Yeah, okay, fair. So I that's kind of what I feel is going to happen, is just some, you know, they make some, first of all, it's, I anything that is comes back to Joe Biden is just starts to get so difficult to decide. Like, that guy is a walking, he doesn't know where he is. And I know that that's like something that we've been saying for a really long time, but dude, how many actual videos have you seen of him where you're like, yeah, that guy is thinking?
Exactly zero.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's like he doesn't know where he is at any given time. It is so bizarre. That I gotta believe that half the country, I mean, I assume half the country is looking at this and just being like, what the hell is going on? Like, who, I know that the president doesn't run the show anyway, but like, who is the theoretically the president at this time? I'm still kind of grappling with that because it's not Kamala Harris either.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a really good question, Carr. Even I couldn't even begin to hazard a guess who's actually running this show right now, because the way the Biden administration is presenting is not like any neo-lib or Democratic group I've seen. You know, there's no recognizable fingerprints on this operation.
Yeah,
but it doesn't feel like it's being driven by a distinctly right-wing group either.
No, not really. I mean, it just feels like it's just a rolling garbage spill from the last several administrations that just kind of keeps moving. It's like a zombie administration. I mean, obviously you've got the COVID shit, but that started before him. And it just feels like you're right. That's a great way to put it. There's no real fingerprints on it as to say, well, this is a particularly like uncomfortably right-wing or uncomfortably left-wing administration. It's just kind of like he's there.
It's like a golem made of garbage fires is what it is.
It's really nutty. It's really nutty.
Well, if you're asking who is really in charge right now, I mean, you could ask that about the last few administrations.
Sure.
Because clearly Trump wasn't the one pulling the strings.
Well, it's pretty clear, though, that the Democratic power brokers were the ones actually driving Trump.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we can at least trace that back to them. You know, he was their perfect gin up the rage puppet. He was necessary to create forces of reaction to reinstall them. But you can't say that about Biden. There's nobody out here intentionally trying to fire up right-wing groups with Trojan horse policy.
Yeah, it's super bizarre. I mean, I really do think that, Jake texted me the other day that I would need to grab my phone to pull up exactly what he said, but it was like one of his friends described just the state of affairs in this country as everybody's been basically just waiting for the other shoe to drop since 2016. And that just really feels very accurate. It feels like everybody's kind of looking around. It's like a Mexican standoff almost. Like, we're just letting the momentum carry the dumpster fire forward, and everybody's scared to make a move, like whether that be a move away from central power, like a decentral, you know, a secession type move, or maybe a military coup or something like that. By the way, that's one of the links that Bird left us with was pretty alarming. Here, let me see if I can find it. So what,
was it the Marines storm tweet?
No, but I'd like to hear that too. But let me. This is a breaking 911 tweet from 5 days ago, saying new Trump statement, quote, "If I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would do it with is General Mark Milley." I don't know who that is. That just talking
Milley
in those
the current
terms,
army boss man who did the diversity stuff and pissed off the right wing.
Oh, okay. But I mean, just that kind of statement, that's not a statement that you would hear in 2005, you know? I don't think. Right. I mean, we are in some kind of weirdly unprecedented times. Am I wrong there?
I don't think you are. And I think your characterization of the old Western Mexican standoff is really good imagery for what's going on. If you accept that the tumbleweed in the background is actually like a flaming meteor of unchecked imperial power just hitting shit in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I think, like you said, I don't think it's Biden, but whoever whatever power brokers are actually pulling the strings right now are doing a very effective job of consolidating their power and making sure that future institutions, like the future of all these important institutions, is going to remain firmly in that center right neoliberal fold. If you look at what they're doing with the military and the diversity training and the rolling around mandating vaccinations are going to be the thing that really pushes the needle.
I think so too, actually. I think so too. Because I've been reading, I've been reading about, like, I saw on the timeline something like, this is why sometimes like the collapsitarian and the doomer side just makes it frustrating, because it often adds a lot of noise to the signal. And, but you know, a lot of, you know, they're right sometimes. I was reading, you know, or watching like an NBC clip or something like that. This was the other day, talking about how, you know, once the vaccines are actually technically FDA approved, it's going to remove a lot of legal burden to basically allow force, you know, in some sense, yeah. Whether that be allowing employers to mandate it or now. There are also a lot of states that have legalized that. Now, what does that matter? I don't know. But it does feel like the vaccine thing could be the linchpin that actually kind of breaks free this Mexican standoff. And then it's a scrum. Then it's people are vying for power again. And it's not just Republicans, Democrats, or whatever you want to view the feds as. But it's vertically, too. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. I mean, that's. I just see a lot of these southern states starting to say, like, this is not not worth our time. I mean, I don't know.
Well, dare we hope,
right,
that it comes to that, yeah, though? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That could be the next big step of decentralization if that scrum happens exactly that way.
Right.
And, you know,
from
me to be optimistic, but that sounds great, frankly.
Me
if
too.
You can,
yeah,
prep yourself, yeah, up and get through it.
And for skeptics and dissidents that live in deep blue states like myself, it's going to be very painful once that shoe drops.
Yeah.
Because you know, I fully expect at some point in the next 5 years even that I may not have a job because they may mandate that I get that, you know, that I get the shot. And mm-hmm. You know, I may not be, it might be tied to my health insurance. It might be tied to me, you know, getting a, you know, my mortgage. There's all kinds of things that they can do that there's precedent for.
Mm-hmm.
And like legal and cultural precedent.
For sure.
And like that's, you know, I'm whether I get forced out of living comfortably in this state, like where my family and where my work is. Or whether I, you know, whether it is worse, remains to be seen. But you know, for the people in the southern states that are actually, you know, combating it on the state and local level, good for them. But for the rest of us in kind of the purple and blue states, that it's going to suck. It's going to be very painful.
We should give some love to the states out west too, though, because it seems to me I've been seeing indicators from a lot of the Great Plains that they're not going to take that sort of nonsense lying down either.
Yeah.
Haven't necessarily been as vocal about it
no.
as the Deep South tends to be, but if you check their headlines or see what some of the mutuals are saying on the Bird site, there's many other enclaves of hope,
oh,
too.
For sure. I think the one thing that scares some of the Midwest states is that they don't have the economic and political power that Texas and Florida do. I think that's the only thing that separates. But some of those Midwestern states have been more radically anti, you know, the program than Texas and Florida. I mean, like Iowa and South Dakota and places like that. But they just don't wield the manpower,
the clout,
yeah,
the national
exactly,
clout,
exactly. But you know when. I do think that this is going to be a lever. I think it's going to be a lever, and I'm wondering after this last year, I think just people are just so freaking exhausted. And they're just exhausted from having to tune in every day to figure out what is good and what is bad. And I'm just wondering if the feds have the political clout available, like the social and political clout, the cultural clout even available for pushing that issue too much. I don't doubt that they'll try, but it's like, how successful do they really think they're going to be? And it could be like, as they push, they could end up with a little bit of a fight on their hands and maybe a fight that they don't really want. I mean, I don't know. Is that something that you guys sense?
I think there's a critical mass of people that are going to toe the line happily, regardless of what they do.
Yeah.
And it's going to, you know, continue our march in different directions, you know, locally, state-wise, nationally. And I couldn't tell you what will come of that, but you know, once people are no longer able to do their normal daily thing, go to work, go grocery shopping, go out to eat, if there's a certain percentage of the population that's no longer allowed to do that and doesn't have the will or the decency to forge paperwork or whatever, or get around it or subvert it, it's going to be interesting.
What were you saying earlier, Paz? You were mentioning something when I was talking about, I think, the coup.
Oh yeah, just you know, one of my many sources for all things conspiracy tweeted a screenshot of a tweet from the Marines about how they were using the storm is coming or whatever that Q slogan is in a recruitment tweet they posted.
Oh God.
And you know, the point my source made was, you know, are they doing this on purpose? Are they trolling, or do they just think that that's cool ad copy?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that got a lot of QAnon people's hopes back up.
Sure.
After they were promised a win in January, in February, in May, here in July.
You know, and that's also the interesting thing, not just the power struggle vertically between Fed and maybe a decentralization movement, but the constant, at least perceived threat that Trump pulls a lot of political power in this country, and has a lot of political capital and a lot of social capital. Does he do something? You know, because this is something we were talking about on the show 6 months ago or whenever Biden got in, about having like almost two presidencies. And if not a full on like claimed presidency by Trump, but having Trump there saying, you know, basically tweeting, well, I could be a better president than this. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be doing this. And I wonder if he's going to take some opportunity to ramp that up and just kind of test, you know, just a little trial balloon, see how much social capital he has, political capital he has to step in, you know.
On that note, though, I don't think people necessarily realize that America has had those shadow style presidencies for decades.
Okay.
You know, the reason that I think people are kind of forgetting that in the short term is that Bush did not deploy a shadow presidency during Obama. So it kind of left the collective unconscious as a thing that happens in American politics. But if you go back to it, when Nixon was out of office, you know, after he had the coup against him,
mm-hmm.
he went silent for 4 or 5 years. And then after that, he was right back on it. He was the guiding force in behind the scenes conservative politics then.
Yeah.
Even through Reagan's run, he commanded a significant amount of clout,
mm-hmm.
and he was the red team elder statesman,
mm-hmm.
even while H.W. and Clinton were in office. So it's not like that's not a thing that doesn't happen.
Yeah, right? I hear what you're saying, but would you say that this sort of thing where you have a member of the opposing political party coming in and not acting as an elder statesman, but acting as an antagonist and maybe even offering a promise of something better, you know, at the same time as his political opponent is in office. I mean, has that happened in modern history anyway? Like for example, like
well,
that would
I
be
mean,
like,
I'm, I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And I guess I can't really think of an example here in the States. But that's kind of the point of a shadow cabinet in parliamentary systems, isn't it?
You're asking the wrong guy. Asking the wrong guy. But
I mean, I should say it is. You know, the shadow cabinet is when a norm they have where the losing team gets to appoint ministers who aren't actually ministers to ensure that there's always a duality of policy options available. Mm-hmm. Basically, the losing team gets to LARP like they won just as a method to keep debate going.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you're angling at, looking for an example in recent American history. And that just isn't really a norm in our system, except, like I said, when an out-of-office president gets to do it until his team wins a new presidency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I mean, this would be akin to, you know, George H.W. Bush losing to Clinton and then basically being on the sidelines, you know, talking about a coup. You know, that seems fairly unprecedented in American history, unless I'm over, or at least recent American history, like modern, like post-World War II.
Yeah, there was all kinds of crazy shit that happened back in like the early 1800s.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, in modern American history, I just don't because Trump is here, ready, and as far as I know, eligible to be president again, right?
Yes.
So he's all of those things, and half of the country, maybe more, see him as a better option, right?
Yeah, you know, and the other cool thing is the rules don't actually matter.
Well, right.
So even if he's not eligible, he is still eligible.
Right, right, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, and certainly in the event of a coup, like, none of the rules even officially matter at that point. I don't know. That's kind of it's just a strange, strange time.
That said, I think we're unlikely to ever see a formal military coup in the U.S. I think it would be more in the Nixonian style, where you just kind of blackmail a dude out of office or frame him up for something. Mm-hmm. You know, the entire Anglosphere, not just the U.S., but also the U.K., Australia, they are really big on playing Fed games and doing spooky shit in the background as opposed to walking into a room with a gun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. That seems to be much more the way that our side of the world tends to go about these things. The one thing that makes me, and maybe everybody says this, but the one thing that makes me think that this time could be different, as they say, is that it just feels as though the desire for some level of certainty about life is starting to become so palpable in this country that it is increasing the odds of success of a would-be, you know, power overtaker, if that makes sense. You know, there's just an increasing demand here for people. Like, I think even vocal, you know, COVID Nazis out there are probably starting to silently kind of think like, all right, we need to just kind of have a little bit of certainty in life and just say, okay, can we go back to some kind of the way it was system, like where we're not constantly having to tune into the news to figure out how many people died that day and what new hoops we have to jump through.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
the drumbeat for the new normal is still going extremely hard.
And yeah, there's no shortage of people that are buying all the way into that, like anywhere from your average 100 follower pleb to your blue check that has no reason to be a blue check. They're like a very well-oiled machine of agitation. I don't think we'll ever get to a point where somebody like where a progressive center neoliberal candidate will ever find themselves on the wrong end of their base anymore. Like, I think those days are done. You could say look at all the shit that they dug up on Trump, all the heinous shit that they dug up on Trump, all the heinous shit that they have on mostly Biden's family, and just, you know, painting Biden as like an enigmatic retard.
Mm-hmm.
you're not going to persuade. There's no like undecideds anymore.
I'm sorry. that's,
dude, that would be a really good Twitter account, the enigmatic retard. That sounds like an in-group adventure, right?
That's pretty much what he is. Nobody, like you said, nobody really knows where he's going, what he's doing. He doesn't really know where he's going or what he's doing. So he's enigmatic, but he's also, you know, the picture of mental decline. So
yeah, no, it's exactly right. And I just putting those words together, though.
speaking of enigmatic retards, did you see this tweet about, I shared it with Paz earlier, I put it in the Zencaster chat, but this tweet from Stonewall Quack 1: why do these neo-lib girl boss politicians have so fucking many teeth? And it's pictures of AOC and Kamala Harris. And dude, I mean, I'm telling you, man, it does look like they have a shitload of teeth, like
human shark chimeras.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Kamala especially just has way too many teeth.
Yeah. And I mean, see, the thing with AOC is that they're just very big teeth. And that's like one thing. But Kamala Harris looks like she has like, she looks like
rows of teeth.
It's crazy. Crazy shit.
You know how when I get on my shit about the Giants?
Yeah.
One of the memes about them is that they had two sets of teeth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kamala looks like that, where it looks like she's got about 40 too many teeth,
yeah,
even if that is technically the right number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her lips and her mouth just open way too wide, and there's an unnatural amount of teeth in it.
Do you think maybe that she was a giant, and they put braces on the front and back rows to bring them together into a single row?
Yeah, just
that probably can't be ruled out, yeah, right?
It doesn't make any sense, given her... the way in which she rose to the top. I mean, that's probably, I mean, if you're looking for a talent to climb the ladder,
oh boy, here we go.
You know, having 58 teeth in your mouth probably precludes you from the way that she went.
Oh, right.
That is a good point, though. And, you know, it's that sort of skill background, yeah, shall we say, that also precludes her from real power, you know? That's why she's not going to be the actual president.
She can't she's rise all the way to the top because she can't. She has too many teeth to do it.
Well,
to face the final
boss.
She
did the wrong kind of humiliation rituals to get the right access. You know, she didn't kill a kid at the Bohemian Grove. She just pimped herself out to fat guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way that makes her a little more bearable.
A little bit more tolerable to our tastes.
Still got lizard DNA, just a little bit less of it.
Yeah. Good God, does she? What has she been like? What has she been doing? I don't even know what the weird.
You want to know what she's been doing, Carr?
What's that?
She's been doing literally nothing except complaining about everything that she's told to do and then doesn't do.
That's incredible. That's good.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like some, wasn't there some leak that there's like a whole lot of like upheaval in the White House? I would imagine there would be, but a whole lot of upheaval in the Oval Office, basically because there's like Biden and Kamala kind of hate each other or.
Well, there's been leaks and allegations that she's been taking all sorts of meetings that Joe is supposed to be taking because he can't stay awake during the day. But whether or not that's true, nobody's actually proven.
Huh.
And then there was that whole kerfuffle about her constantly saying she's going to go examine the border crisis.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
never actually did.
Wait, did she ever? She never.
Well, I think she finally just went now in the last couple weeks. Okay. But she was initially supposed to go in like March or something.
I mean, what a disaster. I don't blame her for wanting to dodge that. Like, what the fuck do you do?
Oh, sure. I wouldn't want any part of it either. Jesus. But, you know, it is a bad look for the people in power.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially after complaining about the border for the entirity of Trump's
four years. That was I don't think she has anything to gain by jumping into that. Her base doesn't really give a fuck about the border. They just give a fuck about, you know, making sure that right-wing terrorism is brought to heel.
Properly suppressed. New York Post, July 15th, pregnant man among this year's emoji finalists. How does that make everybody feel, Aaron?
You know what? I'm all right with it.
Okay.
Emojis are a psyop to brainwash kids anyways, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Pause.
As long as I get to keep my cigarette emoji, I don't care what else they do with them.
Okay. That's so the overall temperature in this crack house here is fairly cool to lukewarm on pregnant man emojis.
Yeah, it's whatever. I mean, okay.
They want us to be mad about it, and that's exactly why we can't be.
Okay. I like that. I like that answer.
It's just one more tally on the wall of, like, you know, how our more right-wing friends can just point to something else to say that, you know, society's gradually being taken over by degenerates.
Mm-hmm. And pregnant men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care to discuss. I don't think there's a whole lot more to discuss there. This Europe, as they are now dealing with, much as we are, the ramifications from a year and a half of telling people that they can no longer work, seriously considering, this is Berlin, seriously considering proposals to seize apartments from landlords to resolve its housing crisis. Is it an extreme throwback to its communist days, or a bold move that could offer a solution to other European cities? I don't even care to venture through the comments in here. I'm sure they are very upsetting. I don't know a whole lot about Berlin, like specifically how they went through COVID or what they're exactly dealing with here, whether it's that combined with an influx of people or what exactly is going on.
I think it's safe to assume it was probably just a tistic shit show like everywhere else on the planet. Yeah.
But I can't even imagine what's gonna happen. This is kind of like the sort of thing that California was talking about. Not in so many words, but they were talking. Wasn't California proposing that the state would come in and buy like or own like 20% of like all rental houses or something like that?
Yeah, there was some bullshit proposal like that. But let me float this at you guys here. Yeah. This is ye old Scarlet Thread in action.
All right, I like it.
Can you care to remind me? Who's been buying up all the available housing over the course of the last year or so?
Yeah, it's that one
giant
company.
Holding companies.
So what's going to happen if the feds around the world come through and decide, now we will buy the housing at a premium to ensure everyone has a house?
Okay. So this is, in some sense, that's the...
This is a giant money laundering op to pay off the bankers yet again.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. How successful? Like, this is kind of what I wonder about this because, I mean, are they basically just buying shares of real estate investment trusts, or are they going house to house and buying house? Like, how are they accomplishing this?
A little bit.
It's
of kind
of case by case, yeah. But my impression is that BlackRock is actually buying the properties. Huh. I can't speak for what the other groups are doing.
Damn, that's pretty. Pretty neat little plan they got going on there.
You know, speaking of that, though, what you're saying, listeners, if you do any investing at all and don't already, this right now is absolutely the moment to jump into as many REITs as you can.
You heard it here first, folks. Financial advice.
I am not licensed, but I'm better with your money than Fidelity would be, I swear.
Yeah, it does seem like that. It's like it's almost like the same type of deal where like the bond market forever has always everybody's always thought it's about to pop, but people keep buying into bonds because they know a central bank is going to come buy them at an even better price. So like it's this weird thing where I mean, it's the buyer of last resort, right? I mean, that it's right. All just basically gets funneled back through the Fed. And then, yeah, like you said, it's effectively essentially a giant money laundering scheme and a giant wealth transfer scheme at the same time. It's kind of a brilliant little thing. I don't even know how you would stop. Like, I don't know how you stop that, really.
Well, you know, the real answer is how to stop it is to either do the farmer's veto at foreclosure sales or to start burning shit instead of selling it.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
You get together a bunch of locals and go and chase fucking mortgage foreclosure auctioneers off of sites.
Yeah. That used to be what happened like 100 years ago, right? 150 years ago.
Yeah. That's just about the only option to actually stop it.
So
right?
So I don't know about, I think this probably stemmed from those times, but, in Texas we have you can declare homestead. So like my home, I've declared homestead in my home, and it affords me, you know, if I have any faith in the legal system, it affords me a lot of credit protection or a lot of protection. Like, I don't think that I can technically be kicked out of my home, even if I think they can really come at me in a lot of ways, but I don't think that they can actually, if this is my primary residence and I've been here for more than a year and declared homestead, my understanding is that creditors cannot actually kick me out. They can't foreclose on my home. That's my understanding, but that may be a little bit wrong, but I know it does afford you like some kind of crazy protections, probably
some
because
sort of extra legal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Probably because they were trying to figure out a way to not have to confront communities that were rallying around, you know, their
widows and shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I don't, you know, I don't know. Maybe it only affords you protection from property. I'd have to look further into that. But do you have that out there, Aaron?
Yeah, we do. Okay. In fact, I'm going through the process right now buying a house, and that was one of the options that was given to me was declaring a homestead.
Cool.
I've only heard good things about it. I haven't really researched any of the downsides. I'm sure there are some downsides, but if anybody has any insight into that, it, you know, in general, I know it probably differs state by state, but you know,
yeah.
Even Wisconsin's got some kind of homestead act. I'm not super familiar with it cause I'm not a homeowner, but
yeah, it's my understanding that there's really not a whole lot of drawback. And also I get a tax break.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. It's like a 25% off of property taxes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to look into all that.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's to your point, Paz, that's kind of what it comes down to is ultimately, just at some point refusing, but, and then that probably comes back a little bit to the decentralization and secession thing, because probably states like Texas and Florida don't necessarily want a super entrenched federal, you know, federal private company essentially coming in and buying up all their land.
Or at least not under a blue administration.
Well, true.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Like, let's not, I don't know, maybe I'll catch heat for this, but let's not pretend the South is some perfect land of freedom.
No.
They've got their own team sport calculation.
For sure.
On.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even from Texas, and I know what the younger generation of Bushes have been doing with eminent domain down there.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, absolutely. You're trading one for another, but I do find that the southern states' bugaboos and things that I hate are more easily dodged in a lot of cases. Than the quote unquote blue states.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, and even I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Much. So I don't really, of course they're absolutely horrendous and just as horrendous as the blue states in a lot of ways, but they're horrendous in ways that I can
more personally palatable.
Yeah. Almost. And not even just culturally, but just it's like, for example, if you, it's easier to buy pot illegally than it is to carry a handgun illegally, right?
Right.
Like open carry a handgun. Like, you know, if I go to New York, I can buy pot legally, but I can't carry a handgun because it's obvious. You're just looking at it on my waist versus down here where, you know, you can open carry without any issues and, you know, it's easy enough to find pot like in that scenario. You get what I'm saying?
So I know down in Texas, you guys have sword dudes who open carry. Have you ever seen one in the flesh?
No, wait, we have what?
you've seen those meme pictures, right? There's dudes. Oh man, I saw the first one I'd seen was a few years ago. But there's dipshits down there who take their open carry rights far enough to walk around with like broadswords and katanas and shit.
No, I've never seen
that. I was wondering if you'd ever seen one in the flesh.
No, that sounds like some like hipster shit. Like that sounds like
It definitely is, yeah. But it happens. There's photographic proof of
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Sounds like Austin.
That's gonna happen in Austin. that ain't gonna happen in Fort Worth, probably. Fort Worth is a cow town. I don't think that
did you hear about that standoff on the highway on in Massachusetts?
No, what happened?
So there's a they're called Moorish Americans. They're like a sovereign citizens movie.
Yeah, dude.
Oh yeah.
So
man.
Yeah. Well, give me a rundown on this because I saw it on Twitter, but I actually forgot about it. But that's an interesting thing to follow up on.
So they were traveling from Maine to Rhode Island, heavily armed, plate carriers, ARs, AKs. they stopped at a rest stop and a state trooper pulled over to like see if they needed help. And they all just scattered. I think there was 11 of them just scattered into the woods and caused, they like shut down a major highway, looking for them. They had like a shelter in place, thing. And, they ended up rounding them up, but, yeah, it's crazy. None of them to this day are cooperating with authorities. They're not cooperating in court. It's they seem pretty fucking legit.
So are they being? I assume they're being detained.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they all got arrested.
And they're just complete. They're just not opening their mouths.
Nope, not cooperating.
Where does that go eventually? I mean, and also, are there what is the size of the group that these people were a part of?
I don't know a whole lot about like the Moorish Americans, but
Small overall, but substantial for a militia, I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And I had no idea that they existed. But, you know, it was all over the news around here when it was happening. I was like, huh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I for one think every social group should get to have their own unique version of the sovereign citizens. The more, the better.
You know what, though? Like, the biggest black... Oh, it was July 4th or July 5th is when I was talking about it with my very conservative union construction worker dad. And I was telling him, like, just reading an article. I was like, yeah, apparently they don't recognize the laws of the United States. And here are these people that are, like, open carrying with plate carriers, like... challenging the authority of, you know, the Massachusetts government, and in typical conservative fashion, my dad's like, well, if they don't like America's laws, they can get out.
Man, do you guys remember when I was live tweeting the Kenosha riots last year? And I was listening to the police scanner radio right before they encrypted it and tried to hide what they were saying, and there was one development in particular. You know, a lot of neighborhoods organized their own neighborhood watches because the cops were so concerned about the courthouse and wouldn't leave it. Anyways, one subdivision in particular set up armed guards at their checkpoints, right? And a cop tried to roll through it, and the dude who was manning the checkpoint straight up asked the cops on the police radio what level his plates were.
Damn.
The conversation about plates always brings me back to that because it's probably the most based thing I've ever heard a normie say. And it was right over the police radio. The cop who took the call was like actually scared the guy was going to do something.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I don't know what else we got. I think we've exhausted. We finished our homework in accordance with Bird anyway. I don't really see anything else here that I'm too terribly interested in. Anthony Bourdain, AI.
New frontiers and fake celebrities.
Yeah.
They can very literally put words into your mouth now.
Yep.
I'm gonna offer a hot take here. I think that could be a good thing.
No.
No?
I mean, go ahead, make your case. I'll listen to you.
But okay. at some point when you can, when it's so easy to fake stuff about yourself, you could claim that anything's fake. Does that make sense?
From like a collapsitarian perspective,
I mean, I guess from a plausible deniability perspective. Like, if somebody's like, "Oh, well, you said this one time," I'm like, "Nah, I don't know, that was fake."
Well, no, because it's only ever going to be used by state power.
Yeah.
Like this isn't about you getting to cop out or getting caught on video with something. This is about them being able to make a mouthpiece out of whoever died most recently that the normies love.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I take it back. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
That's right. Anybody got anything else?
Nah, I got nothing.
Posse?
Except contempt.
Yeah.
You know, not to shill too hard here right before the end, but this is a Scarlet Thread Society week, so be paying attention to your catchers, people.
Oh, hell yeah. Friday, yep, 2 days, 23rd, Scarlet Thread Society. Can we get a little teaser?
Yeah, so the finders, right? I'm in part two of the FBI's document dump about them, and surprise, surprise, as it turns out, all sorts of different feds who were involved with the investigation were desperate to pretend they never had any role in it at all, even a few months after it concluded.
Huh.
Okay.
So I wonder why they'd be trying to disavow something like that, huh?
All right. Well, for most of you that are going to be listening to Scarlet Thread Society, we'll see you in 2 days, or Pause will. And for the rest of you, we'll see you next week. And until then, keep two hands on the wheel.